Over 50 years ago, over on Greenville Avenue, not too far from the Granada Theater, a weird-named liquor store came on the market, and it, by golly, it's still there. There are a lot more goody-goodies spread out across Dallas and Houston and Longview, and the same man who started Goody Goody in 1964 still owns it, still runs it, and Joe Jansen joins us right now. It's good to have you with us.
Thank you.
That's a long run. Centennial's gone by the wayside. Siegel, I don't know. There are a lot of names that have just disappeared. How have you kept going all this time?
Well, we're about the last one on our feet, I think. Well, the market's changed a lot. I guess we were just a little more staying up with the times a little bit better and so on. But a lot of the things have changed a whole lot. When I went into business here, Dallas had one precinct that was wet, and that was the only wet spot between here and Oklahoma. In fact, when I went into business, Oklahoma was even dry, so you had to go past Oklahoma to get whiskey. If you went to the north, if you went to the west, you had to go all the way to New Mexico, and if you went to the east, you had to go to Longview, Texas. And from the next spot from there was Shreveport. That being the case, it was kind of like a little oasis.
Yeah, so I would imagine.
So they built all of these chain stores here in a small area, and this area, you know, it supported it. But as things changed and more places went wet and so on and so forth, it stretched the market out. And and now here recently we've had, you know, more competitors come into the market that are a lot more upscale than what the old guys were. And so anyway, I think Goody Goody started out building large stores. And where the model for liquor stores was about 2,000 square feet. And when we built our first Goody Goody here, well, the first one I had was only 15 feet wide and 50 feet deep. That was that was a lease deal.
That was the one. That was the one on Greenville, right?
Yeah. And then there was a little convenience store next door that went broke, and so we moved from the little 15-foot store into that convenience store, and it was 4,800 square feet. And we stayed there for quite a few years, and we moved from there. I stayed there forever. And then we built our first store that we built was on Harry Hines, and it was 20,000 square feet, which at that time was the largest liquor store in Texas.
You're like the Walmart of liquor store. You're in the screwiest business. You alluded to it, but this sort of checkerboard area where you could drink and you could not drink, and then we used to have the brown bag laws, and we had unicards if you wanted to have a drink, and then some states can only be sold by state stores. Are things beginning to calm down in your industry at all?
Yeah, well, it's starting to level out a little bit. Yes, about everything is slowly going wet. And all of that was set up after Prohibition. You know, the mob controlled all the liquor business in the country at the end of Prohibition because Al Capone.
Yeah.
And so all the states wrote these funny separate laws, but they were basically all written to try to keep the mob out of their state. And that's how you ended up with this checkerboard deal.
I've never heard that before. That's fascinating.
Yeah. That's why that's the three-tier system, because they were trying to get rid of what they call the tied house, where the mob controlled the supply. They controlled the people that made this stuff. They can control the little speakeasies, you know, where they sold it. And so they were trying to break all of that up. And that's where they came up with the three-tier system, where you have to either be a manufacturer, you have to be a wholesaler, or you have to be a retailer. Nobody can be in either one of those, two of those businesses. You can only be in one of them.
You know, just in the last couple of years, your business has really changed. And I guess maybe the pandemic's, you know, changing it again. But you never could have liquor delivered to your house. I mean, you had to go get it, and you could only get it during restricted hours. Could you?
No. Yeah, you could. We've been able to deliver liquor forever, but you've got this real problem because when Dallas only had the one wet precinct, there was just so many very little places you could go with it because you couldn't cross a dry line. You follow? You had to just stay in the wet area. And we still have that problem today. Now that we are delivering, we've got it programmed in. So every address in Dallas, we can check to make sure it's in a wet area.
And then you have to route them around dry areas for delivery?
No, we used to cross them. I'm not sure how the law read about that, but they let us do that because you can transfer liquor, too, between locations. For example, if I had a store on Greenville, which I did, and I had one on Harry Hines, I could transfer back and forth, but I had to drive across a dry area to get here. So you can do that. But
What about this recent, I mean, to me it's recent anyway, in an effort to sort of save the restaurants, and those restaurants started delivering and to go and pickups, and they sell a pitcher of margaritas along with your steak dinner to go. Now that's a new phenomenon, isn't it?
Yeah, I kind of think that'll probably kind of go away though as things get opened back up, the vaccine comes out, and we get things a little bit back more to normal. As I guess you know, we're in the hotel business as well as the retail business. I just said you can't be in both, but there's one exception to that law. You can either, there's two classes of wholesaler in Texas, a class one and a class two, or A and a B. If you're a class A wholesaler, you can only sell to liquor stores. If you're a class B wholesaler, you can only sell to bars and restaurants. But you can be a retailer and also a class B wholesaler. And that's the and so we are both. So we sell to over 2,000 hotels, bars, and restaurants in the state of Texas.
You must have a fleet. You must have a fleet of attorneys to get this. This business is even get more confusing than I thought it already was.
Yeah, it is. It's kind of a madhouse, but it's getting straighter all the time. Like I say, more and more things are going wet now, or it's getting more uniform, you know.
Yeah.
That's been both a blessing and a curse from our standpoint, because when we built all of our stores, they had to all be in that precinct one. And then when everything started going wet, we had to kind of start over and start re-expanding. And as we just recently opened a store, really nice store, if I do say so, in Irvine on the corner of Royal Lane and Beltline. And we're soon, if the election goes right, we'll be starting one in Bedford very soon. And we have another one that's supposed to start after the first of the year out around the Rockwall area.
Well, you are expanding. And, because that was what I was wondering about. I mean, I mentioned Centennial and Seagulls and some of the old names that disappear. But, my gosh, in came the guys from Houston. And you got Specs, and then there's Total Wine, and then Tom Thumb can sell wine and beer, and I know Costco and Sam's want to be able to sell hard liquor too. They can't do it, but you must have more competition now than ever before.
Yeah, because we've got the old stores, the Centennials, and that's why most of them went. They were all keyed to that high density deal of where Dallas was the only wet spot for hundreds of miles in every direction, you know. So they had their that was their business plan. Right. And since that all changed on them, they were able to change with it, it seems, and every daggum one of them. Where we started out with a large store and have had large stores, we kind of were in the same type deal as these guys coming in, but we were overly concentrated in one area. So it's taken us a little time, to start getting reorganized, right, and placing new stores.
Okay,
we've opened a couple. We opened one around that a year or two ago. We opened one over behind the lake at Highland Village.
Mm-hmm. Look, I got to ask you one thing before you go. And I've wondered this, I guess, since the 60s. How did you come up with a screwy name like Goody Goody?
Yeah, that's an old story. When I first went into business, this little bitty 15-foot store-owned thing. I bought it from Jack the Barber. He was a barber and also had the liquor store. And the name of his store was Goo Goo, G-O-O-G-O-O. And the reason it was Goo Goo is because he did neighborhood delivery. And when a guy called up back then, you had to go to the yellow pages, you know, didn't have cell phones. And I don't care how much you had to drink, you could always remember Goo Goo. And that's why he had that silly name. So when I bought it, I took every penny I had. So I just added a D-Y to Goo Goo and made it Goody Goody. Was always going to change it, but it saved me $600 at that time on having to buy new sign plates. And that's how we got with Goody Goody. And was going to change it, but I had a wise old man, was a Jewish guy that owned a wholesale place here. And he took me to lunch right before I was fixing to open the Harry Hines, and it was going to come under a different name. And he said, Joe, well, let me tell you, you went into business, this little bitty store down here. 13 people were there before you, and all went broke, and you made a success out of it, and you did it with Goody Goody. You ought to stay with Goody Goody.
And 56 years. Yeah, 56 years.
Later, I'm still Goody Goody.
Yeah, and Joe Jansen is the constant in the business. You know, it's good to meet you. I've looked forward to this for a long time. Thank you for the time.
Thank you, Dave. It's good to meet you. Thanks. Even if it was on the telephone. Well, someday we'll do it in person. I'll buy you a beer.
I look forward to it. For more of our conversation with Mr. Jansen, go to krld.com/CEO. I'm David Johnson, News Radio 1080 KRLD.